maybe the man who's joining us now can tell us a little bit about some other things that have been going around in Montreal.
Well, first I want to mention that the film that she was mentioning by Brett Gaylor.
Yes.
One of the stars in the film is Girl Talk, and he's going to be here on November 13th.
Excellent.
And I got my tickets, and I'm all excited to have my dancing shoes on.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. What can we expect? What can we expect from the performance?
Girl Talk, it's this guy from Pittsburgh who plays his laptop and strips.
Interesting.
It's very, very funky music.
I saw that Kevin Smith had a film in the festival called Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Is that anything?
I have no idea about that one. I just know that I want to go see Girl Talk live.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Chris Hand, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me again.
What are some of the exhibits that you saw?
Well, first let's start with Rearranging Desire, since we want to have sort of like the political bent on this show and so on. We're in the hallowed halls of CKUT. And basically, Rearranging Desires is a show that was curated by my friend Alice Mingwai Jim. And she has gotten four Chinese-Canadian artists who then have made art that is based on their experience of being sort of, not exactly Canadian, but not quite anything else, and sort of how they play around with the sort of their sense of identity, which is Rearranging Desires, because if you are complete in your cultural identity and so on, then you have one focus. If you have split cultural identities, which most of us have these days, then at which point there are all sorts of different things, and it's actually quite interesting show. But you have a point you wanted to make.
Do you mind if I get philosophical with you?
Not at all. Go wild.
Can anybody truly be complete in their cultural identity, or the fact that you assume that you are complete in your cultural identity, doesn't that close your doors to experiencing new things?
It could. However, it is the sort of thing like the Zen saying, if a tree falls in a forest, doesn't make a noise, or my favorite conceptual idea is, if you were born without any senses, what do you think?
If you judge yourself to be complete and not needing anything,
and exactly, but it is, to me, it's the sort of thing where, just in terms of the playing of it, I was referencing more not in terms of anybody specific, but in terms of playing between most, as I said, most people these days do have multiple cultural identities.
Absolutely.
And it is the sort of thing where, in terms of most people just accept it and sort of deal with it, and these are artists who have then specifically focused in on it as to what it is like and how and so on, and produced art that is representative of that sort of state of mind, which is something where most people, because they accept it and don't really question it all the time, play that sort of, okay, which side of the border am I on? Which side of the fence am I playing, in my case, American today, or am I playing Canadian today?
Exactly.
Because it's one of the things that I find fascinating is when I go down to the States to visit friends, they think I'm a Canuck. Up here, they assume that I'm American.
Howdy.
I don't change when I cross the border. I just do the same thing, but everybody has a different perception of me.
So what is the struggle then? Is the struggle actually creating the culture, creating the artwork, or is the struggle trying to make the cultures all coexist?
To me, I don't think it's so much of a struggle as
the challenge.
To me, it's more just sort of a realization, and then using art to sort of make people think about it in a different way than they normally do. And to that effect, Aisha Hamid, Karen Tam, Chi-Chin Wang, and Mary Suyi Wang are extremely effective.
And they made you think about things that you took for granted?
They made things more aware, and especially given that their experience of biculturalism, for the fancy terminology, and sort of like the PhD.
In Canada, we call it multiculturalism.
this is to me very specific to two different Wichmoc cultures. To me, is like polyglot, when you know more than two languages. But if you only know two languages, you're bilingual. You're not a polyglot. This is two very specific ones, and then they even like beat you over the head with the whole Chinese thing, because at the gallery, they have a whole Norman Bethune sort of exhibition.
Wow.
And it is all tied in with them sort of polishing and scrubbing up the new Norman Bethune statue and so on. And it's like Concordia goes Chinese for the week. And I'm saying, no, actually, Concordia should not be focusing now on it, because at the end of the month, it's still going to be the same place, and then the focus goes off to somebody else. To me, you should be encompassing it at all times, in my personal preferences. And yeah, and then because this show is specifically between the Chinese and the Canadian, that's why I say it is bicultural as opposed to multicultural.
I definitely agree with you that it might not be the best tact that one group, in this case Chinese, get the spotlight for a week, and mm-hmm. then next week they're disposed of, mm-hmm. or dismissed. But do you think that will be the inevitable result, or is this week simply a week to gain awareness for the Chinese culture?
I'd like to think that it is a week to gain awareness. However, in seeing the show, seeing the way that they present it, seeing how people interact with it and so on, it is, to me, just another continuation of just, okay, we have our, minority of the week, minority yeah. of the month. Let's put them up and then slide them aside. We got somebody else to deal with next, whether it's the Arabs, the Jews, the blacks, the pinks, the yellows, people missing one arm, albinos, I don't know.
What can we do to break out of that mentality, to say it's not the minority of the week that mm-hmm. The focus is on, but it's the challenge, and I'm going to use that word again, mm-hmm. is how to integrate all the different minorities into one massive majority.
To me, I actually go the opposite extreme and take it as opposed to one massive majority. A lot of individuals, and everybody is very different. Everybody should be taken uniquely for who they are, what they are, how they are, and at which point, if you make good art and you are a one-armed Jewish albino lesbian from, Iraq, at which point, great, fine. To me, it is you are who you are. Your art is what your art is.
So the art should not be judged on the... That art should not be compared to other one-armed Jewish lesbians from Iraq.
No.
That art should just be based on its own merits.
The art or the person should not be judged at all by the fact that they are a one-armed Jewish lesbian from Iraq. Oh, man. That would be just... That's... Yeah.
So it's important to break down these levels of comparison.
Yeah, to me, it's just take everybody for what they are, take the art for what it is, and so on, and just leave it at that. And,
right on.
Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, go see the show. It's also, the other thing is that it's got its vernissage tonight. It's been up for a week, which is how I got to see it in advance, so as I could be able to tell you about it, although I haven't really told you much about the art. We just discussed the whole theory behind it
Go ahead, sure.
Before, just to emphasize, today at 6 o'clock, free wine and finger food at Concordia. The wine is not going to be the most stupendous stuff you've ever drunk, but it's not going to be crap either, and it is free. Free is always a good thing. But yeah, there's four basic pieces of art that are being shown. Aisha Hamid has these videos, and one of them is called Border, and there it's, although she's thinking, because it's a two-channel video, which means that there are two TV screens up there, and she basically then takes a marker and she talks about how she wants to then draw borders on herself. However, the thing that struck me most with it is, especially given the way that marginalized cultural community or people of marginalized cultural communities are being treated nowadays, it struck me more that the video itself was like being in solitary confinement and actually how you deal with it and stuff like that. And okay, you may be lucky enough to get a pencil and stuff like that. And she just starts like scrawling on her like she's, I don't know, like you would imagine a two-year-old with a piece of paper and so on. And so I was struck much more by that, especially given the box-like nature of the TVs. However, my interpretation of it is entirely different than her interpretation. It is, she is the artist, then at which point I'm obviously wrong.
Well, is that what signifies great art? The fact that you can see it and have a totally different interpretation of it than she... than her interpretation. To me, that's what makes great art.
I think it makes that art great or not great. It is, every art is open to interpretation, however.
Well, that's the key. I mean, if you're presented with something and there's only one way to see it, to me that's not art. But if you're presented mm-hmm. with something and every set of eyes that sees it has the freedom to create their own interpretation of what they feel that art represents, to me that's successful art.
Yeah, but there, to me, every art can be that. It's more that the people who then see the art, for the most part, if you go to the museum, if you go to the gallery, most people will read the stuff, nod their head, and accept it and leave it at that. It's like the Mona Lisa is the Mona Lisa.
Right.
That's it. Michelangelo's David is David. That's it. And at which point, I'm not worthy of being able to interpret what it means to me. I need to be told what it is. And
says who? I don't buy into that.
You don't. I don't. Margot doesn't. Doesn't. And at which point, but there are an awful lot of people. If you go to a museum, if you go to a gallery, it's a sort of thing like, okay.
Within the academic world and within the art world, there are a lot of people who actually have their positions because they enforce that.
Mm-hmm. There you go around guided tours, and at which point these are the people who say this is what it is, and that's what it is. But let's get back to the art, as opposed to off on these tangents, which are so interesting, but don't talk about the art. And then we have, Karen Tang, who's done some cutouts, which I imagine is a traditional Chinese type of art form. However, she has sort of tweaked it by using, making them of things that are very, Canadian in their style, such as chicken McNuggets, talking about bombs and wars and stuff like that. There, it's tough for me to figure it out because the way that it is set up, there are just those things up on the wall because they're basically gold paper cutouts, and they are very ornate and very nicely done.
Is it a pop art commentary?
I think it's more playing off of sort of this traditional Chinese art form with contemporary Canadian icons.
Like chicken wings.
Yes. However, the thing that I found most difficult is that the names of the pieces, because they're all about, I don't know, maybe the largest ones are the size of a chest, a torso, and then the smallest ones are about the size of a hand, and they're all over this humongous wall. But then the titles are all the way over in a corner. And so trying to go look, okay, so which one is that one, and which one is that one, and trying to do the cross-referencing made my sort of like head dizzy and stuff like that. So
was that intentionally done by the artist?
I think it was done because that's just the way it's done and stuff like that. I'm going to have to talk to Alice and ask her about it. I haven't had a chance, and that's another reason, a couple of little glasses of free wine, and at which point I can go, wow, yo, Alice, why'd you do that?
So we're rapidly coming to the end here. Do you have any suggestions for listeners to...
I got lots. I was supposed to be talking about the Musée d'Art Contemporain's show called Sympathy for the Devil, but we'll have to push that off until later because that goes on until January 11th.
We can sympathize with the devil for the next couple of minutes.
And then also there's Bob Desotel, who has a show at Chez Le Portugais, which is a restaurant on Saint Laurent and Rachel. There are three art expos happening this weekend that I'm going to go see, and there's tons of stuff.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So what would you suggest if one listener out there, if one listener had $1 in his pocket and 1 hour to go see one show in Montreal, where's he going this weekend?
Rearranging Desires at Concordia at 6 o'clock today, at which point that one listener can keep their dollar and drink for free.
Excellent.
And then I got to apologize to the two other artists who we didn't get around to talking about, at which point, c'est la vie.
Sherry Boyle?
She's got a great catalog out, but obviously we didn't have enough time.
Rearranging Desires.
Yes, that's the thing that goes. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I look forward. Will you be checking out some exhibitions this week?
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to go see the three different art expos, which are sort of like trade shows but for artists.
Right.
And it's basically the art scene in Montreal is so fragmented, it's almost like a mirror ball. So they're all happening pretty much at the same time, and I'm just going to try and wrap my head around how to make them into one complete unified mirror so I know what's happening.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Do not forget as well on October 21st, which is Tuesday evening, it is the CKUT annual general meeting that will be taking place at 6 p.m. at Thompson House, 3650. Attendance is mandatory for CKUT members. And if you're not a member of CKUT, but just want to come out and watch an absolutely rambunctious evening that will include free pizza and cheap beer, where ideas get discussed, theories get torn apart and put up and ripped back down
again. You can become a member.
You can also become a member. CKUT Annual General Meeting, October 21st, Tuesday evening, 6 p.m., Thompson House, 3650 McTavish. Thank you very much for listening to the Friday Morning After this morning. My name is Tarek Jura-Burkhan. For Chris Hand, Jeffrey Mackey, Margot Lane, Trina Dew on the boards, thank you very much.
Have a good weekend weather-wise.
Have a great weekend weather-wise and otherwise. And as always, 90.3 FM CKUT, www.ckut.ca on the internet. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.